Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for part one of our Big Brother 17 cast preview tonight. We're talking about the men of BB17, and we're going to do that with Ian Terry, go through all seven of the guys and talk a little bit about what is going to be happening on Big Brother 17, which is kicking off this Wednesday night. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at True Car, because when you're making a big purchase, like, say, buying a new car, don't you want and expect a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know that you're getting a fair deal. And to understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car that you want and how you want it, but also you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Very transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, you can lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. And you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without a negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's not sure if he's quite ready to have his summer be the victim of a BB takeover. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother 17 cast preview. Night number one, we're talking about the men, the big bros here on night one of our two-night preview. And here with me to talk about what is going to be going on with seven of the Big Brother men. Here he is, the winner of Big Brother 14, the great Ian Terry. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Ian, and I'm very excited. Much like Big Brother itself, we're going to have a two-night load-in for the Big Brother preview. We'll be back tomorrow night to preview the women. So that's going to be tomorrow night live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's going to be on Thursday night, what, the 18th. So we are 1 week from tonight, Ian. It's all happening.
It's definitely going to be exciting. You know, we have the twist teaser today. We'll see how it plays out. I'm hoping it's not as bad as it sounds.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the BB takeover, which has been announced as the twist this season of Big Brother. Of course, we'll talk a little bit big picture stuff, and then we're going to really get into detail talking about the seven men. Usually when we do these previews, we can't spend too much time on any one person. Otherwise, it's going to be like a 3 or 4 hour podcast. So I decided to break it up. So we'll really drill deep talking about the men, and then tomorrow night, we will talk about the women on our two-night preview of Big Brother 17. How's everything been going, Ian?
Braving Tropical Storm Bill here in Houston.
Tropical Storm Bill. That's a terrible name for a tropical storm.
Yeah.
Uninspiring.
I thought tropical storm names had to be something like, you know, Dexter or
Exotic.
You know, yeah, something cool like that. Or like, you know, Zane or something. But
well, that's, now well, if you get the Zane, disease, yeah.
But yeah, you know, Bill is kind of a little bit boring.
Yeah, a little anticlimactic. You want something with some gusto.
Exactly.
To go along with the gusts of wind, I guess. So Bill is not that exciting. But anyway, hope everybody is doing okay with Tropical Storm Bill. And we are going to, we have a lot on the bill tonight for Big Brother 17's preview. We're trying, Ian. We're trying. All right. So 1 week from tonight, very excited. We've seen all 14 of these cast members. A little bit surprising to only have 14. And of course, we have this twist to get into. But before we jump into any of that, let me just set the stage here tonight. We're going to be live. We're live here on Periscope. Shout out to everybody watching on Periscope. We're live here on Google Hangouts. Got a couple hundred people in the chat room right now watching us live to talk about all this. We want to be super interactive. We want to take your comments from the chat room. I'm going to see what you guys are saying to me here live on Periscope. Plus, we're going to take your tweets. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is monitoring Twitter. We're also on our YouTube channel, which you'll be able to see every episode of our Big Brother recap this season at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, we will be live as well after the premiere and each night of Big Brother along the way here as we kick off Big Brother 17. What, 94 days of my life is going to be talking about this, Ian?
Well, they'll play 97 days, but I think they'll be in for about five. So probably about 92 days of your life.
So what, a good 40 episodes of Big Brother on the way?
supposedly, which I don't see how they're going to do with 14 people. So,
all right, well, we're going to talk about all that. Of course, the other big thing going on, Ian, is time to everybody get your live feeds for Big Brother. And the difference this season is that the live feeds are part of the CBS All Access Pass, where you can watch everything on CBS, including the entire back catalog of Survivor, of Big Brother, of The Amazing Race. All that stuff is in there, plus all the other CBS shows. You could watch your local CBS Live. All of that is available as part of this. Now, again, it's only available in the U.S. as of right now. And I know there's some controversy. Some Canadian viewers are upset about this, Ian.
Yeah, our Canadian friends are definitely not happy about
it. They should not get mistreated like that. They deserve to get to watch the live feeds also.
But we also were geo-blocked.
Oh, that's fair. You know what? They started this when we had to install Hala to watch Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, and then it ended up that was like mining our data like crazy or something like that.
Yes, that came out after Big Brother 3. So do you think that CBS is retaliating for making for Global not letting people watch Big Brother Canada in the US?
Yeah, I think this is a reignition of that strange war that was going on in that 1984 book, like was it Oceania or something like that? Like, they're next.
Wow. Well, there's no winners when we get into international Big Brother war. The only losers are the audiences of Big Brother across the globe. So one day I'd like to have Big Brother world peace.
It'll never happen.
We can only hope. But that being said, all right, if you want to get your hands on this CBS All Access Pass, the way it works, it works monthly as opposed to all the seasons before this. The Big Brother live feeds were like you just paid up front like $29.99 or whatever for the Big Brother live feeds, and then you just had them. This is a subscription where you're paying $5.99 a month, so it works out to be cheaper. If you just got it for 3 months, it'll end up being cheaper. It'll end up not being cheaper if you decide you like it and want to keep it forever or don't like it and forget to cancel it. But that's the way it's working this year. If you want to get your hands on that, go to robiswebsite.com/livefeeds to buy the links or buy the live feeds through our site. And we're also going to be playing Big Brother Live Feed Bingo this summer. You can do that without purchase. You can do that whether you purchase your live feeds from anybody. But if you want to get it on Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, it's at robiswebsite.com/bingo. All the instructions are there. Digital cards this year. We're not messing around with any mail this season. And then we're going to try to get those out to you guys this weekend. No purchase necessary to play Big Brother Live Feed Bingo either at robiswebsite.com/bingo. And for the live feeds, if you don't want to mess around with bingo, go directly to robiswebsite.com/live feeds. All right. So, Ian, let's start off here. Let's set the table with the twist for Big Brother 17, which is called the BB Takeover. And let me read to you from the press release put out today, and then I want to get your reactions here. All right, Big Brother announces this summer's exciting new twist, BB Takeover, featuring weekly surprise guests who will unleash new twists into the game each and every week. And then a little further down, the summer's BB Takeover twist will feature a surprise guest each week who will appear on the show to announce a new twist to the game. Expecting the unexpected will be taken to new heights as house guests will attempt to stay in the game amid the ever-changing twists that will shake up life inside the house on a weekly basis. A special guest will appear on each night of the two-night premiere and reveal twists that could affect the cast and the viewers. Your reactions, Ian Terry.
My reaction is that sounds like the weirdest, most strange thing. So the twist is that every week a house guest comes in and announces the twist, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, I'm not sure what the modern day example of this is like, you know, where you have like it's like a Love Boat type thing maybe, I don't know, if you like SNL, where every week we're going to have a new guest twist announcer.
So does the guest live in the house?
I don't know. Is that why we have 14 people?
Does the guest sit in the booth? I mean, and talk to them through the voice? I mean, what I don't get it. I feel totally in the dark here.
Yeah. It's somewhat terrifying.
It is a little bit terrifying. Now, I did a little bit of research here.
Okay.
I did a little bit. And I had heard through Big Brother Reddit that this is because they had brought across the pond some British producers to work on the show. And I figured that was a good starting point. So I found this article on Wikipedia. Apparently in 2008, the UK did something called Big Brother Celebrity Hijack, in which the premise was that one celebrity guest per day would take control with the help of Big Brother, organizing twists and comps and things like that, and talking to the house guests through the diary room. So it seems to be the American take on that.
Yeah. To me, what this seems like is that Big Brother says, okay, well, how do we, like, we had Frankie Grande last year, and that was great. We loved having Frankie Grande in the house. He has all these Twitter followers. What if we got every famous person who likes Big Brother, who has 10 million Twitter followers, to come in for a week, and then we're going to get a pop every time they come on, because they'll tell all of their social media people to come on and watch Big Brother. So instead of Frankie Grande, where we just had, hey, we just had one Frankie Grande all summer long, what if we got a new Frankie Grande in the house every week?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's really what this sort of comes down to, is how can we do something that, I mean, assuming that the guest is not just an old house guest every single week.
But then they'll do that too. Zach will be a person that comes in.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Derek and Dan, but it's, and maybe even Will. But
no, Ian Terry? What will your twist be? What will you make the twist be, Ian?
See, normally I would say something like girls must wear bikinis 24 hours a day or something like that. But with
there will be a bikini tard that somebody will have to wear.
Perhaps that. Yeah, that actually sounds about right. But, you know, let me think about this. What was I saying? I think it's their way of possibly doing like a celebrity type Big Brother without having celebrities sign on for like 90 days.
Yeah. I think that is probably going to be the case, where instead of like David Hasselhoff coming on to promote his new show that's going to be on CBS, you know, they will have somebody who's going to have their new show come on. Instead of like the cast of Scorpion will come on to announce like, hey, everybody, all right, we're going to do this. It's Scorpion week. So I think that they're going to look at this as a way to both promote CBS things, and if somebody has like is famous and has a big following on social media, then they'll bring them into the house. None of this screams to me that this will make for good gameplay. Like, I don't think that it seems like the kind of thing that we're going to be like, oh my God, BB Takeover is killing it this summer. Or we might say it's killing it. But we're not going to be like, oh my God, BB Takeover, what a great twist this has been.
Yeah, I actually am going to agree with that. I think that it's just, it to me just takes the format of the game and just sort of takes it out of what it's supposed to be, right? I feel like you're having basically someone from the outside world come in every week. And I mean, if they're living with them, I mean, stuff is going to leak in there, which totally ruins the entire premise.
It will be something that we will be watching for all summer long. Like, it just seems like this is the kind of thing that's going to drive the intense Big Brother fan crazy all summer.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of really like hardcore fans, purists, if you will, and a lot of them have said that this has dropped out of their viewing schedule for the summer, which I think is interesting.
I'll believe it when I see it on that.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, those types of threats get made every year, but this time they're serious, Rob.
They're serious. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see. Look, maybe no matter what happens, we're going to have fun talking about it, no matter what. And two, let's see what happens.
And that's true.
Let's see what happens.
That's true. I mean, some of the house guests this year, they do seem pretty interesting, so.
Yeah, the cast is going to be fun to talk about. To me, this is a case of, you know, like Tropical Storm Bill is coming. It's like, okay, let's see how it goes. Is it gonna be something? Is it gonna just blow over?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always feel like every year they announce the twist, and it seems like it's just the end of it, and then it just ends up being like something super minor that's almost like a detail that's just totally gets lost once you really look at it.
Yeah,
like MVP, like meant. They evicted two of the people the MVP put up, and it lasted 6 weeks.
Hey, and look, if the twist comes back and it turns out that Dr. Will is coming into the house to be the Big Brother security guard for a week, nobody's going to be complaining, Ian.
That is true.
Or Derek. Derek would be a better security guard.
I actually am voting for a house dog security.
Yes, a house dog. So we'll see what happens. That'll be like when it's Rachel and Brendan, they want to, they're dog lovers. They'll have everybody bring their dog into the house for a week. But I think that the fans will like it when it's an alumni and be annoyed by it when it's some sort of cross promotion with CBS.
Yeah, no, it depends. I mean, I think that it has the potential to get really tedious. And I do think that cross promotion is probably one of those things that will up that. But I also think that recurring house guests Frankie Grande, you know, that's going to be pretty bad too.
Yeah. You know, that's coming.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. All right. Then in addition to that, we have some, new, a little bit of a redesign, on some things in the house. Anything of note about the house itself, Ian? Want to talk about the impact of the Sky Bridge?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually kind of cool.
All right, so set up what the Sky Bridge is.
So instead of there just being like a balcony that kind of like hangs over a little bit into the main living area, now it just goes all the way across and over the door. So there's kind of like a clear plexiglass bridge that just goes over the front, I guess the foyer is what you might call that area.
Yes. And so people can see down. Can you also see up?
Yeah. Julie Chen said that the girl shouldn't wear a skirt. So I'm assuming yes.
Live feed subscriptions just went through the roof. CBS was very, that was a very bad idea to do that. So will stuff like that, don't we want people to be able to strategize more?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference because you could always just sit on that little balcony perch anyway, and you'd be able to see the same stuff. So I really don't think this is going to make a huge difference.
Okay. All right. So why don't we jump into this? Let's talk about seven guys here tonight. A lot to work through. And why don't we start? We're going to go, I think, in alphabetical order. We're going to get stuck in the J's. Lots of J's. But here we go. Our first guy that we're going to talk about in our BB17 preview. Let's talk about him. Here he is. It is Austin. What do you think, Austin? He is a 30-year-old former wrestler. He hails from Woodland Hills, California, and he is a guy who is a big physical presence, but doesn't seem to be super intense like a Devin or some of these Jeremy or some of these other big guys that have been into the house.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he just seems like he's kind of an older guy. Based on this cast, I think there's going to be possibly just a hard time fitting in unless he's just super, super chill. He definitely looks different than the rest of his cast members. I just see him as a little bit older. I don't think he's going to be like a super social player.
He's an interesting case, I think, about Austin because he's been a guy who is certainly going to stand out. Like, he's never going to be able to hide in the house, but he's somebody who also does seem to know the game particularly well. Like, you would think, like, okay, a guy who's a 6'5 wrestler and he's somebody who's been a recruit and maybe he, you know, jammed in a couple seasons over the last couple months, but he's a guy who seems to really know the game. I saw a clip that he was hosting the Big Brother recap for After Buzz from a couple of years ago, Ian.
Ah, well, I mean, if he really knows it well, then he might know. I mean, he'll probably know how to play. But like I said, I think that this season we're going to see an increased importance on like the social factor. If there's so many twisty twists that are coming to twist up the game, then I think that a lot of it's really just going to be how much of a social player you are rather than a strategic player.
You know, that's a great point that you make.
Benefit him.
because in Big Brother Canada 3, and a lot of our American viewers did not check out Big Brother Canada, and many of them for some of the reasons that we mentioned earlier in this podcast of how difficult it was, and you had to, you know, figure out something, some sort of app on your browser. But in Big Brother Canada 3, which was a season with twist after twist, every week was like another Twisto's twist in the house. It really did make it easier to take out some of the bigger players in the game. And some of the bigger threats ended up being victims of this, all these twists. Do you think that in a season with a million twists, that the best players will be picked off, Ian?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the more, here's the thing, the more twists you add to the game, the more randomness and variance you add to the game, which means that the worst players have a better chance to win. The twists level the playing field.
Okay, so that's going to be an interesting thing to watch out for. So when we make our winner predictions, should we look for somebody who's just like a mediocre?
I mean, it could be anybody, really. I mean, think about it this way, right? Like, you had Derek play a season, there was the, you know, the Battle of the Block twist, but it was also very consistent, right? Like, you could plan around that, which was good for him. If he's in a season like this, where it's just something totally different or very random every week, he can't plan around it. And that makes it a lot more difficult for someone that's a good strategist.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to Austin. Now, Ian, one of the things I've been reading about Austin pretty much over the last 36 hours since this cast dropped is that Austin looks like Dan Gheesling. Buying or selling, Austin looks like a Dan Gheesling crossed with, I don't know, what bearded long hair guy you want to cross him with.
You know, strong buy. There's a very good chance that one of the twists is this is just Dan Gheesling in disguise.
Well, has anybody seen Dan Gheesling? Dan Gheesling's been playing a lot of video games. Is he on, like, human growth hormone also? Is Austin related to Dan Gheesling?
There is such a strong resemblance. If you really look at the two pictures, I saw a thing last night on Reddit where it's like, he's really Dan. It's him in disguise. And at first, I thought it was one of those photo chops. Like, I thought someone had taken Dan's face and, like, spliced it. No, he actually does look that much like him. It's just with very long hair and a beard.
Yeah, he really does. He has Dan Gheesling's exact face. And now, on top of this, Ian, Austin has something else that's very unique about him. He has an alter ego. Where the nice guy is Austin. It's a little bit of, like, a Jekyll and Hyde thing. But he has like a top hat like Slash would wear in Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And when he puts on the top hat, he becomes his alter ego. And his alter ego's name is Judas.
You know, the other thing I saw a clip is like, yeah, when I put the hat on, that's when I'm evil and I'm going to be lying. And I said, that's actually a pretty awful tell. He puts the hat on. It's like, you're good for the week. I'm not voting you out. Takes the hat off. It's like, oh man, that's rough. It's going to be really hard.
Yeah. That's one hell of a tell of that. He has like a very much like silent movie bad guy disguise that he's going to put on when he is a villain. It's terrible.
Absolutely. It is. It's not looking good.
So is old man Jerry from Big Brother 10 going to come in and identify Austin is actually when he's Judas is actually Dan Gheesling? You'll always be Dan Gheesling to me.
I think that's the twist, right? That's one of the weeks is Jerry
Jerry's from BB10 going to come
and
in
and just starts saying Judas.
Dan. Wow. Austin
on every single piece of food product, including beer. Like,
has Dan misted everybody into not knowing that he is actually a jacked wrestling guy?
You know, I don't know. Maybe.
No, the thing about Austin, though, I actually did like him from the videos that I watched. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's out there. There was the interviews that were with Big Jeff that were part of, I think that they did them as part of being on the feeds which you could watch on CBS.com. I'm not sure if you're able to watch them if you're not a live feed subscriber at this point. There's also stuff with Big Brother Network. They were in there. And then Rachel Riley was in there with Ryan Carrillo, but I don't think all of theirs are updated yet.
Absolutely.
So what? How much of this stuff did you get to take a look at?
I saw some of the Jeff videos, and then I like read the bios, saw the highlights, things like that.
Yeah.
So I haven't like watched every single video. You know, it's not like the olden days where I'm like going to watch every single one of their interviews with Love Big Brother and Reality Recaps and blah 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 blah. But yeah, I've watched enough to have I know who they are, right?
Yeah.
You show me a picture of them, I can say, oh yeah, that's so and so.
You do, after a couple of minutes, you do kind of get it. Like, it doesn't matter, really. There's not a ton of information that ends up getting brought to light.
No, no, not really. So would you rather, Rob, let me ask, would you rather be loved and lost or win and be hated?
Boy, I would rather, like, it's funny because Jeff asked that to everybody, but, and then whatever they say, he's like, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. But Jeff really loves
Rob,
it. Yeah, he loves it when
are
people
you
say
single and ready to mingle.
He didn't say that. That he didn't ask
didn't say
that
this year. I think that was taken out. But
they told him, they gave him a note on that. But yeah, but Jeff really loves it when people say that they would rather lose the game and be loved. He likes that the most.
I find that interesting. And I remember there was one of the interviews pre Big Brother 14 where they asked us some question like, would you rather have $500,000 or new best friend? And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to put the shiest on early. And I said, oh, new best friend, for sure. And I'm like, no, come on.
Yeah. If you asked me, would you rather have like $50 or a new best friend? I think I'd probably still say $50.
Yeah, I think I have, you know.
Like, that seems very time consuming, a new best friend. Yeah. It's like a lot of work.
I really don't have time for that. Yeah. I think like one is enough. Two is plenty.
All right. So some more interesting things about Austin, that he has some sort of an injury, right? He's rehabbing on some injury from his hip, but he's still able to do like backflips and do these great feats of strength. Is he going to be able to downplay that in the house?
Downplay what, the strength or the injury?
The injury is like the best thing that could happen to him. He should come into the house on crutches.
I was going to say, he should upplay, oh, I've been rehabbing on my hip, it really hurts, blah, 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 this,
I mean,
blah, blah,
if
that.
He could get a wheelchair and come in, that would be the best case scenario for him. Might lose America's vote on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go over too well. That's up there with that team on the Amazing Race Family Edition that just like minutes into the first episode. Never mind.
What about a cane? The cane would go good with the top hat, wouldn't it?
Actually, it would. Like a very Fred Astaire sort of look. That would actually be very nice. Yeah.
Very like, yeah, Monopoly man.
Very regal. Yeah.
Very regal. Maybe a monocle also. Or either that or Mr. Peanut. Either way, it's a very good look, I think, for Austin. They asked him, what would you take into the house and why? He said, three Color Me Bad CDs in case the first two broke.
That's actually a pretty funny response. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I think he's a funny guy, Austin. But I'm very concerned about him. Like, I feel like his personality seems well suited for the game, but can people ever forget? You played with Frank, who was such a big physical presence. Can you ever forget about a person that tall in the Big Brother house?
I mean, that's whoever the biggest guy is going to have a problem. It doesn't matter if you're big. It's all relative. Whoever is the biggest guy is going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
Period.
It's going to be very tough for him. Like, I don't think he's going to be out very early, but I see him really struggling to get past the middle part of the game.
I have him as middle of the pack.
He's middle of the pack. All right. I want to go ahead and make sure we get some
questions
in.
14 people in a 90-some-day season, I mean, there's got to be at least like three buybacks. So I'm really not sure how placement really works in this system.
So you think that there is going to be definitely somebody coming back into the house after they go out?
There there's 14 people and it's a 97-day season, there has to be multiple buybacks or like rewind weeks or weeks where they don't do anything.
Yeah.
That's
going to be the Frankie Grande twist week.
There have to be two people.
Yes. Frankie Grande is going to come back in and say, hey, you guys are getting the same twist that happened to me. It's the BB rewind week.
Then that defeats the entire purpose.
He'll come in after it's over and say, hey, remember what happened to me? I pushed the button and it was rewind. Well, so did you. All right. So Ian, as far as Austin goes, do you think that he is somebody that is going to be on the block early? Or do you think that he'll be able to overcome his physical just omnipresence?
I could see him on the block early, yeah. I really could.
Oh boy. Oh boy. All right, so
he's different and he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's a big guy.
All right, we're going to take your questions as we go through. So we want to get in all of your questions about Austin here along the way. This is a good one. This is from Miranda. I love Austin, but he looks like Khal Drogo. I was worried about him at first, but he's such a physical threat. But he said he's going to play down to the calf. He's badly injured, which could save him from that. I hope he gets far. Buying or selling the resemblance to Khal Drogo?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, from
Sorry.
Game of Thrones. Is he?
I don't watch it.
How are you not watching that?
No, I just don't. I don't watch it. Sorry.
Okay. Could you put into perspective for us, Ian, a 97-day season compared to Big Brother 16? Is that longer than BB 16?
It's the same.
The same.
16 and 97 days is the longest. 15 was 90, and then like 12 through 14 were 75. So drastically shorter when I played.
Now, just to go back to this idea, I know we're bouncing around a little bit here. If there's going to be a BB takeover person in each night of the two-night premiere, like would they start off with? Are they starting off with alumni? Are they starting off with just the most famous person that they can find that wants to come in and take over the Big Brother house?
I mean, I would hope that it's a big name like Neil Patrick Harris or something like
that.
Okay,
so Neil Patrick, boom. First night, Neil Patrick Harris comes in like, hey, house guests.
Yeah, and then the second week's kind of when you start putting in, like, you know, the older returning house guests. Like, you know, day one, Neil Patrick Harris. Day two, Kent.
Kent's on day two from Neil Patrick Harris? We can't even get the Lance Bass?
Okay, maybe that actually be fair.
All right. I think Lance Bass is on the scale in between Neil Patrick Harris and Kent.
Sort of. I don't know. Kent is pretty up there, Rob.
Yeah, can we get Khal Drogo to come in?
Who?
He's very popular. The Game of Thrones. There'd be a lot of cross promotion.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Shepherd Six. Well, actually, did they start this last season with the whole thing with Kathy Griffin and Gilbert Gottfried coming in and like hosting competitions?
Yeah. I mean, kind
of. Kathy Griffin's definitely coming in.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Kathy Griffin for night one.
I would sign on that. I mean, she's a pretty big name, right?
Okay, sure. Why not? All right. Yeah. This is a question from Shepherd Six, who says, I get a decent vibe from him, but can he connect with these people and stay in the game? How do you think he's going to be at connecting with people?
That's the thing, is I really feel like this group specifically is very, very plasticky, very like glam, right? There's not like a lot of the girl next door, the guy next door. No, they're very much like a plastic looking group. And I think that he's not going to fit in that sort of way with them. I don't think he's going to connect with them very well at all.
Okay. All right. I think he'll be okay. I really do. I think he's somebody who is a personality. My concern about him is that I feel like he's a guy who just likes to talk more than he likes to listen. Like, I feel like he has like a lot of like jokes and stuff and shtick and material that he wants to get to, and God knows I can relate to that. But I think it's very important that he goes in and is a good listener and not just somebody who, you know, wants to spew his one-liners and his jokes that he has.
That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. Okay. This is from Twan Max. This is Judas Delvin is his wrestling gimmick name. That almost sounds like Devin.
Devin has a daughter.
Devin has an Austin.
There's a lot of contestants this year that are single parents. I noticed that, actually.
Wait, does he have a daughter? Does Austin have kids?
I don't think so, but there's quite a few. Quite a few.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. That Scott, I have a question here from Brendan on my Twitter. Brendan, I want to make sure we get that one coming up. Fantasy Craft says Austin is a former wrestler. Well, he can lie because he says if he did it before, then he made lots of money. So best to lie. What do you think? What do you make of that?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Let me see this question.
I think the question is,
if he says he did it before, then he made lots of money. So best to lie. What do you think?
best to not pick apart the grammar best of the comments. So
best to lie. I had to just figure out what it was asking at first. I just was totally confused by that.
I should have paraphrased that. So should he say that he made a lot of money wrestling?
Yeah, he should probably lie about it.
Why would that help him? To do the Jimmy Johnson strategy of like, hey, like I can't win the game, but I can help one of you guys win the game. So don't vote me out.
I think that going in being known that you have a lot of money is probably not going to help you most of the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. Real BG Lowe says, odds Austin cuts his hair for the punishment veto challenge. Oh, that'll be good.
You know, I get really irritated with this. If you go in there and you're not willing to cut your hair off for a veto, then you shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
Like it'll grow back. You know, it's not, I don't know.
Yeah. That's what the word is about the hair will grow back. I know I had a hard time explaining this to my wife one time when I had to shave my head and she didn't believe it, but it does. It is true. It does grow back. All right. Sure. Sports Lover wants to know, if Dan and Tarzan had a baby, you would get Austin. Tarzan from Survivor?
Tarzan or Troy-zan or Tarzan, the actual Tarzan. I'm going to go with the actual Tarzan. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Fair statement.
I believe that Dan endorsed Troy-zan for Survivor Second Chances.
He did.
Oh, there you go.
That worked out.
Yeah, he did not. He was not able to miss the voters. All right. The Brendan tweet wants to know, if at Rob Sisternino had to face BB17 Austin in the ring, who would Rob's alter ego be? # not security guard at Tulane Terry. So what would be my wrestling alter ego? I feel like I'd be an okay wrestling manager as opposed to an actual wrestler. Like, you ever like remember like when it would be like sometimes like manager would end up in the ring with the guy and be like, don't hurt me. And it's like cowering. Like that would be mine. I don't know. I needed some sort of like podcast sort of wrestling person. And I could like walk to the ring with like a microphone and that would always be like the illegal object that people would get hit over the head with. I think that would be pretty good.
Plaid has to be involved in some way in the wrestling name, like the Plaid Avenger or something like that.
Something like that. All right. You want anything else on Austin or you want to move on to guy number two?
I'm ready to move on to number two.
Okay. Number two. Here we have our second guy on the board. Here he is. It's Clay Honeycutt. Clay is a grad student from Texas A&M. He actually played football with Johnny Manziel. And here he is. The self-proclaimed Big Brother super fan.
Yeah, who started watching four weeks ago.
Yeah, there's a couple of interviews they asked him, like, so are you a super fan? He's like, yeah, I'm a super fan. I watched 8 seasons in the last 3 months. Yeah, I'm a super
fan. Yeah, I'm really, Rob, I'm really, really into it. I watched half of the season. Like,
are you kidding me? I binge-watched the season last week. You don't get more. I'm going to spend my whole summer playing this game. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Here's Clay.
Yeah, I've been watching this for a long time. I started last April. You know?
Yeah, I'm not even watching anything else right now. All I'm watching is Big Brother episodes left and right. All right, so here's Clay Honeycutt. He's a 23-year-old guy. Seems like a nice guy. And boy, did Big Jeff love this guy. Big Jeff was like falling out of his chair. He loved this guy so much.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be very all American.
Yeah, Jeff was taken with this guy. Jeff could not get over how good looking this guy is.
Yeah, what's he a grad student in?
I think sports management. Yeah. Is that what it is? Something like that.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's something that has to do with sports. I mean, seems like a very nice guy, but super vanilla, in my opinion. Like, he's going to do well. He's going to go far, but he is, like, does he have Cody upside?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I really don't see this guy having too much of a problem. He's extremely good looking. He seems sociable enough. I think he's going to do well here. Cody upside, he's totally inoffensive.
Yeah, he's totally inoffensive.
In that way, I mean, we've seen some things that might, interesting.
Well, talk to me. What are you referring to?
You didn't hear about the Twitter dig up on this guy?
No, I have not seen the Twitter dig up. I was away all day yesterday and I came back and binge watch. I was a super fan all day today. I was binge watching all these interviews.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad as the Caleb
Beast Mode Cowboy stuff.
I mean, it might be. I don't know. But from what I understand, it was not good on his Twitter. But the thing is, someone said that there was like context that was missing from it. I don't really know, but it was embarrassing.
Okay, can you give us the gist of what was going on?
There was a joke relating to African American people not liking swimming.
Oh boy!
Calling someone a slur for lesbian.
Oh no!
Or something like that.
Clay,
what are you doing? Yeah.
What is wrong with these people? Not even that they say these things. Not even that they said it. But as a Big Brother super fan, shouldn't he like go back and like, oh, yeah, remember that time I tweeted about black people swimming? All right, let me delete that. Or let me like, why this? What? I mean, and not for anything. Why doesn't Big Brother say to people like, hey, did you say anything offensive on Twitter in the last 4 years? Like, you should go back and delete it.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're supposed to lock or like deactivate all of your accounts. So really, follow the rules.
Yeah. And he was so into like, Jeff asked him, so would you rather be loved by America and lose the game, or would you rather win and be hated? And it's, I'd rather lose and be loved by America. So he's really into being loved by America. He didn't know who, he didn't know who, Brendan and Rachel were, or he didn't know that G-Jo was Jeff and Jordan also.
Not the best sign.
Or I'm sorry. I think he knew who Rachel was, but he didn't know who Brenchel was. He didn't know the couple. He's also
name.
Not only is he up for a showmance, he's up for any type of man. So I think he is definitely looking. He is single and ready to mingle.
Good to hear.
So lucky. Good news for the ladies in the house for Clay. Now, something I did stumble across today is that he was the victim of a crime this week. Did you see this? So
he was burgled.
So people waited for him to go on Big Brother. And then they went to his house and stole a bunch of his stuff. So check out, here's the list of stuff they stole from him. They stole a 70-inch TV. Well, that's a big TV.
It is huge.
Yeah. So, boy, should he tell people when he goes in the house he has a 70-inch TV? Won't that make him a target? What do you think?
No, probably not.
Don't tell people. He had not only an iPad stolen, he also had a Kindle Fire stolen. Boy, should he tell people he has a Kindle Fire and an iPad?
Yeah, I mean, why do you need both?
I don't know. I don't know. he had an Apple laptop stolen, a leather jewelry box, and check this out. He had three guns stolen, a 9mm, a 22, and a 45. He had three guns.
It's Texas.
Okay, that's par for the course. I see. Yeah. I don't have a good finger on the pulse of how many guns.
I got like six back there now.
Okay. Total estimated value of the stolen goods, Ian?
$4,513.
$510. Wow, how did you know that? You have the article open?
I had read it earlier, but I remember it being around there. But I'm still, by Price is Right standards, that's
you'd be over. So. You'd be over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that it wasn't just $4,500, it was $4,510.
Well, that's the other gun.
All right. But I feel like he's going to...
Super soaker.
he's set up fine. Now, the one other story, which has been underreported here and probably overreported everywhere else, and we're not going to spend too much time on her tonight because it is the men's preview show. But do we think that there's any reason to believe that Chase could put his... that Clay could put his foot in his mouth about Audrey, who is our first transgender Big Brother contestant?
Possibly. I mean, from what I've also read, that the plan is that the announcement about this would be made in that first week where they don't have feed running, so that any sort of stuff like that, anything like that's going to kind of get swept under the rug.
Okay, so more on the impact of Audrey coming tomorrow night in our ladies preview. All right, let's go to our next person. Let's get to our comments about Clay. Anything else about him?
No, I mean, I think he's a good looking guy. He'll probably do well just from that. So
yeah. The cowboy hat in the picture, and that's what he had in his memory wall picture. Like, does he bring a cowboy hat to Big Brother, or does Big Brother say, like, hey, you're the Texas guy, why don't you try this cowboy hat on?
Probably the latter. Or maybe they told him to bring a cowboy hat. The other thing I would say is, this guy went to A&M. I know a lot of people that went to A&M, but it's a pretty big school. But, I mean, I'll ask around if anyone's familiar with this dude.
Okay, get a scouting report on Clay. Yeah. Right. We got some comments about Clay here. Let's start off with Clay's cast photo is identical to Beast Mode Cowboys. Please tell me you both noticed that. So his picture is,
assuming the cowboy hat one. Yeah.
The cowboy hat one. I'd have to take a look at it. And
it is quite similar. It is similar.
So that speaks more to that Big Brother has a cowboy hat like on a rack and then they put it on it. Like, I want to see if it's the same cowboy hat. Let me just look up Big Brother Caleb. And so, I don't know if it's the same exact one, because I don't know if he's tipping the cap in his memory wall photo. We'd have to go back and take a look at it, because the picture that is on the internet is not necessarily the same photo as the memory wall. So somebody send us a side by side if it's identical. Send it to me while we're doing the show. Also, a question from Alexandra that's making me chuckle right now, that she tweeted me. Rob, if you were an animal in a zoo, what animal would you be, Ian?
Me?
Yeah.
I'd say a mallard.
A mallard. Wow. I mean, if Big Jeff asked me that question, I'd be like, I don't know. What I'm like, I'm here to play Big Brother. I'm not an animal planet. What animal would I be? A dog.
You were a crayon in a box, Rob. What crayon would you be? And it's really sort of an arbitrary question.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know what I learned about anybody. Like, oh, this person said that they're going to be a fox. I'm going to watch out for this person. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the basketball boss. It says, on the athlete scale of Devin to Zach O, where do you put Clay? Like a good question like that. What do you think, Ian?
Closer to Zach O, I guess, right?
Well, what's good? Is Devin good?
Yeah, that's, I'm not sure. Like, Devin was, he's a big guy. I mean, I don't remember him being, like, Well, it was, he played baseball, right? Minor league baseball or something. Like
that. But he never,
did Zach do something? Was Zach like involved in some kind of sport? I don't really.
I'll ask Eric Stein.
I don't know.
Okay. He looks athletic. This is from Miranda. Says Clay looks like a worse version of Cody, and Cody isn't even a good player. Is he poor man's Cody?
I mean, I think he is. I don't really see that. It seems. Yeah, I think Zach is probably a better comparison. So maybe Zach's the poor man's Cody. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. So I have the Cody and Caleb picture here. Let me see if I can show you on my laptop real quick. If I can get this angle without the glare. So it's not the same. It's not the same pose, but it does look like it's the same. Like they went with the same outfit.
Same outfit for sure.
Yes. Like somebody in Robin Cass is like, do you have anything in denim? Could you wear a lot of denim? Can you give us denim on denim? Denim on denim cowboy hat. Well, people will love it. They'll eat that up. There you go. All right.
Absolutely.
And then this is from Jacob, who says, is he extremely comparable to BB Can 3 Zach, or is it just me? Captain Canada, are you seeing a similarity there?
Very tall, right? So that's a good start.
Okay. They both played football.
They did?
Yeah. So, all right. Although
Canadian football, a little bit different because the goalposts are in front of the end zone.
That's true.
So watch out for those.
There you go. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. The real BG Lo says they're both wearing denim on denim. Yes. Yes. Denim on denim. Let's make it happen. Will you wear denim on denim to your Big Brother premiere party?
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Do you own a denim shirt?
No.
I don't have a denim shirt. I used to. Like when I was in like middle school, I had a denim shirt, but no, not anymore. Could I pull that off? Could I pull off how about this? If Clay wins Big Brother, I will go denim on denim and podcast with a cowboy hat for a week.
Oh. That would be pretty funny.
Mark it down.
If you're going to go ahead. That, all right, there you go.
And look, that is a there is a real possibility that this is your winner. He's not my winner, but he'll do fine.
Fair enough. Oh, the side by side someone just sent us, very, very, yeah, it's identical.
Yes.
It's just as if they said to Kayla, it's like, wear a light denim shirt and dark jeans. And they told this guy, wear a dark denim shirt and light jeans.
Yeah. All right. This is from Shepherd Six. This is I think Clay only knows one way to play Big Brother, and that's Full Tilt. Yeah, well, he's binge watching. Okay, Ian, anything else about Clay, or you want to move on?
I'm ready to move on.
Let's move on. Okay, let's talk about our next guy. Here he is. It's Jace, and will he be the Jace that sucks or the Jace that doesn't suck? Here he is.
I mean, it's not a hard bar. So let's talk about Jace with a C.
Jace with a C.
Not Jace with an S.
So he is a personal trainer. I thought he was going to be sort of just like a surfer bro, but I actually kind of liked Jace. He's a personal trainer. He's living in Venice Beach. He's in a surf house. And he is also a guy who is claiming to be a big, Big Brother fan. What is your take on Jace with a C?
Yeah, I just don't get a good vibe from this guy at all. I don't know. He could do well. I mean, that I don't really think that he's going to have too much trouble lasting a little bit. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem to me like I don't like him. I just get a wrong vibe from this guy.
See, I actually really liked him a lot, and I think that he could be a potential winner, Ian. So we agree to disagree on Jay so far. I thought
I didn't say that he wouldn't be decent at it. I just said I don't get a good vibe from him.
Well, I think that he's a guy who does seem to know the game particularly well, if not at least being a super fan, that he definitely knows enough to be dangerous here. And I think the thing that he really has going for him is that he's got sort of like the surfer guy vibe. And I think that's a really good thing to have, with the exception of a guy like a David Gurton. For the most part.
You also have to remember that David Gurton was like a Braden Baca clone. And then they were both the first boot, right? So like for a good while, like surfer bros going into the Big Brother house were two for two in first evictions.
Yeah. All right, well, surfer guy, at least on Survivor, is a good archetype to come into the game with, because you are non-threatening and people are like, hey, don't worry about him. And I think that Sarah in Big Brother Canada had a lot of that surfer guy thing going on, where people are like, oh, she's just a stoner. You don't have to worry about her. And I think that Jace could bring some of that to the game, where he's somebody that people would maybe not, maybe underestimate, because they think he's sort of a surfer guy. And I thought from what he was saying, I thought he seemed like he knew the game to a degree.
That, and that's a fair statement to make.
Yeah. I think Hayden Voss might be a decent comp for Jace.
Yeah, and maybe that's why.
Oh, now it all comes out. Now we get it. But also, if he lives in like a beach house with like a bunch of people, I feel like that's a good practice for the Big Brother house, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was living in a house with about eight to ten people in it right before leaving. So yeah,
it's good practice. He was also very smart, I thought, in talking about the game, about how you need to play the game in a pair.
Well, actually, I think playing in a pair in Big Brother is really horribly dumb, actually.
Oh.
But yeah, it's actually not a good idea. In fact,
elaborate.
Aside from, like, you know, Danielle and Jason, who pulled it off flawlessly, if you're playing in a pair that's known, like a known pair, it's basically a neon invitation to nominate both of you together.
In fairness to Jace, he was talking about playing in a pair that is somebody that people don't know about. He said, whether it's a guy or a girl, but somebody that he could trust implicitly.
A secret partner, perhaps.
Secret partner,
like that.
Yes.
I mean, that's fine, but I mean, no one's really, people have had a very difficult time pulling that off. And a lot of people have tried. It hasn't really worked for a while.
Yeah. I thought that he was pretty good. He talked about that he does want to play like Derek. And I thought he was also very smart that, I forget, in one of these interviews, he really started pandering to America. And, like, I don't like the fact that he did that, but I like the fact that he's thinking that way. Of, let me start pandering to America here in this spot, because, like, only good things can come from pandering to America.
And that is true. You know, never know when the coup de Jace is going to come around the corner.
Yeah. So we'll see. What's your gut take? Is this the Jace that sucks?
I actually think this is the Jace that does not suck.
I agree.
Think he'll probably do better than Jace with an S.
What's the mark for it? So making the jury, then he will automatically be, or does he have to make it all stars?
If he makes it to jury, he's automatically better. Jace failed to do that twice.
Okay. Even though he came back twice, I feel like even if you come back a second time, like, isn't that elevate you as a player that they thought enough of you to bring you back a second time?
No.
Okay.
No.
I
mean, no. Right.
So,
I mean, Fran played twice, Rob.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, I didn't think we'd have a Francesca reference.
I didn't think we'd have a Kent reference, but here we are.
All right. So I think that he's in a decent spot. What's your prediction on him?
I think he'll come in seventh place. I think he's got the Joe Anglem spot written all over him.
Okay. Yeah. I really feel like of the men that we're going to talk about here tonight, not to spoil anything, I think I actually like him to do the best out of any of these guys we're discussing.
I disagree on that. Actually, I have high hopes for one. We'll
okay,
get
it's
to
a good a good tease. Let's get into some of the comments here tonight. Let's start with Real BG Low. Not a huge thing, but being a personal trainer is probably a good social in with people in the house. Much like Godfrey was always able to work out with Peely as a social move. Is that a good thing to be able to lead the backyard workout?
I mean, it's like cooking, right? You know, it's transferable. It helps. I mean, it's something that can get you in with people, sure.
Okay, good. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is from Superfactor, who says, Jace kind of reminds me of one of the Christie brothers. From is this
actually
Jace
like
Christie?
I do like that. I do like that. Oh,
Yeah. So you're buying Jace Christie?
I will buy that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, he could be the smartest of the Christie brothers. Well, again,
damning. Not a high bar.
Not a high bar. The basketball boss says, I've seen the Jace Hayden Voss comparison all day today. If it's true, which girl will Jace be in a showmance with?
Well, let's see. I don't have any QT 3.14 this year.
Yeah. I saw that you said that the other day.
I would have just said whoever that was. but still bitter. Still,
yes, so bitter. I know.
Let's see. I don't know. Let's go with
let's just go with Liz.
Yeah, Liz. Seems like a fine pick.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Miranda, who says, Jace seems to know the game well and could be good, but in interviews, he spoke like he already won the game, so I'm afraid he's going to get too cocky. Did you get a cockiness from Jace?
I mean, not any more than a lot of the guys.
Yeah. What do you think about that? He says he models his life after Indiana Jones.
That's interesting. I mean, there could be worse people to model your life after, right?
What if he accidentally puts on the Judas hat and if he thinks he's Indiana Jones, does he become a villain?
Maybe that's how it works. That's the twist, Rob. That's the twist.
that we have Austin's hat is actually magic.
God.
Okay. Let's go to Soul Survivor Yap from Jeremiah. Will Jace do better or worse than Hayden Voss? Which side of the Hayden Voss line will he be on?
That's actually a really great Mendoza line, actually. And I'm going to say better.
Yeah, I thought Hayden Voss was underrated, Ian. I thought he was good, and I feel like he got really screwed on the double eviction. And I felt like had he stayed in the house, I felt like he could have made some noise. I think Derek would have smoked him out eventually, but I do think that he would have done better if it was not for the, well, obviously he would do better if it wasn't for what got him voted out. Right. But I felt like he was under the radar.
I would say, I feel like he suffers from playing in a season with one of the greats. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
He's probably someone that if you put him in like, you know, a season 13, but even that, you know, like let's put him in season 11. Yeah, he probably does pretty well.
Yeah, I think he's an above replacement level player.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is from John L. Says, totally agree with Ian on Jace. Not getting good vibes on him. Bad vibes, bro.
Yeah, I just don't get a good vibe from him. I'm not saying he'll be a bad player. I just don't get a good vibe. I don't think I'll like him.
So when you say that somebody, you don't get a good vibe from them, but you don't think he'll be a bad player. What does that mean?
I just don't think I will like or find him entertaining.
Okay, but you think he could go far?
I didn't really find Joe Anglim to be interesting or exciting or anything. But you know, people loved him. I don't know. I didn't find him exciting. But okay. You know, that's it. Yeah.
Let's go to Ryan. Just FYI, Jace has been arrested on two accounts of disorderly conduct. I think he can win this game if he downplays his intelligence. Well, I'm not sure what one has to do with the other.
That is the most oxymoronic tweet I think we've ever had submitted.
But yes, the disorderly conduct, I suspect, was alcohol fueled, and there will not be great quantities of that in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yeah.
When will we get to it? You talking about alcohol?
Yeah. I think that there's a very natural lead in for that.
All right. And then this is from Marissa G. So speaking of Survivor Surfer archetype, doesn't Jace kind of look like Jen from Worlds Apart? Are you? does Jace look like Jen Brown?
I mean, I still think that Jen Brown is Jane Bright with like 30 years off her, but.
Wow, Ian, those are harsh words. Hold on,
words. Harsh words. Man.
Yeah, wow. That's very harsh, Ian.
Sorry.
I just watched Survivor Nicaragua this past week, so I'm loving your Jane Bright references. That's probably why I called Clay Chase also.
Yeah, I had noticed that, and I was like, yeah, country-ish guy, not too far off.
Yeah, just an FYI, Josh Wiggler does a great Jane Bright impression.
Oh, God, I hope to never hear it.
All right.
Let's just stop missing it.
All right. Let's get at it. Let's get out of this. We've gone to a bad place. You guys took it to a bad place.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's go to our next person. All right. Here we go. It's James. It's James. Let's talk about James. Yeah. James, right. We have our new Donnie.
He's dressed exactly the same as Donnie.
All right, now we're on to something here. Let's get the side-by-side.
It's literally like Twitter. Casting at this point is just take the clothes from the person the year before, put them on another person, and hey, we got our
James, could you try on this? We call this a Donnie tard. Can you put this on? People liked him. It'll be good.
This will be a good
Twitter, get me the side-by-side James and Donnie cast photo. Let's see that. Also, send that to me and Ian.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's get that going. And while we're talking, let's get into talking about James. He's a 31-year-old retail associate. Ian, what is a retail associate? What is that a fancy name for?
Someone that works in a retail store.
So he works in a store like a Walmart or something that's a retail associate?
Something like that. I mean, if I had to guess, I'm just going to say he probably works at like Cabela's or something.
I don't know what that is. Give me another example.
Like a fishing or hunting store, there's like a bass fishing pro shop, maybe something like that.
Okay, so he works in a store, but he's not on the register.
Yeah, he's not the cashier. Yes, he works in the store.
And
yeah.
Luckily, we have a cashier also. So maybe they
have a cashier
go into business together after the show. So here's James. He's the self-proclaimed hillbilly Asian. Now, that's a casting type we didn't think we were going to get this season.
That is a new one. That is a new one, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a tweener. I like it. It's a twofer. Boom. Here we are. And I like James.
You know, for some reason, this is probably actually a good thing. But just to see, get a pulse on, what the casual fans are thinking, James is ranked 14th out of 14th on the Joker's poll.
Is he that?
And I don't know why.
Is he 14th? I thought that John was lower when I looked at it recently. But
John was last yesterday for some reason. I'm
why
not really
is James
sure
dropping?
But James is the lowest. Now, it might have something to do with this mugshot from last summer.
Oh, no. Mugshot of James?
Yes, and apparently the arrest in South Carolina is for contempt of family court.
Oh, boy.
Whatever that means.
Contempt of family court.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I mean,
not a great mugshot.
Why would that? Yeah, well, I mean, they very rarely are.
You could have used the Donnie tard for the mugshot.
Yeah, it would have really improved things. But I mean, I don't know why that would cause his rating to go that low. I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, what does that mean? It's not really that big of a deal, is it?
All right, I'm looking at the post on online Big Brother. They called contempt of court is a willing disobedience or disregard of a court order or any misconduct in the presence of the court, actions that interfere with the judge's ability to administer justice or that insults the dignity of the court.
So he probably skipped a court date. So he probably skipped
again.
A court
we
date.
Would need to bring in one of our legal correspondents here on Robin's podcast, and surprisingly. We have no shortage of lawyers in the audience of Rob as a podcast, but I'm sure one of our many legal experts could speak on this more intelligently than we would be able to.
Okay. Yeah. So whatever it is, it doesn't seem like it's a really huge deal at all. So I don't know why
really
he's
don't
last
know.
In Joker's ratings, because usually you have to do something pretty bad to get to the lower end of this. And I really don't see that is enough.
Well, could it be something like, you're no Donnie, James. you're a Donnie imposter.
It might be.
Yes. that get out of here with your Donnie Tard, because you are not, you are no Donnie, sir. He's our favorite, not you.
Knowing them, that very well might be it.
Who knows? All right, but let's talk about James himself. And I actually thought he spoke pretty well about the game.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to actually know and watch it.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. I thought he was smart about the game. He talked about how Derek played the game and some of the things that were smart about Derek, about how that he's a former military guy, and he talked about how he needed to be able to see what was going on in the house before he ended up making a call on which strategy he was going to go.
Yeah, and those are all good things.
Yeah.
All very good things.
Yeah. They asked him, oh, what would you like to take into the house? He said his cell phone, because it's his best friend, LOL. He doesn't seem like an LOL guy.
Very modern there, yeah.
He also would bring his cat, Gizmo, because he's awesome, and my Taylor Swift cutout.
Didn't need to know about the Taylor Swift cutout, but fair points on the other two.
Bringing his Taylor Swift fathead. Don't you think that if he wins HOH, they'll send that to him?
Maybe
who wants to see my Taylor Swift
guests?
Fathead? He has an interesting background, too. So he was born he went to a boys' home in South Carolina after his mom passed away from cancer, and his dad was unable to care for him. And then he was adopted by a Caucasian family, and he's called them mom and dad since. So he sort of has like this very interesting cross-cultural background. He also has adopted kids of his own, too.
It is,
but he's a single dad? Because they asked him about showmances, and he was like, yeah, I'm up for a showmance.
I guess so. I mean, it's pretty interesting, eh?
Yeah, that is
interesting guy.
Interesting character for sure, because there is, other than he's wearing the Donnie Tard, I don't think we've had anybody like him before on the show.
No, I think that he's his own character, even though there are a lot of similarities to Donnie.
Yeah. Okay. Have we gotten the side-by-side Donnie and
yes.
James comparison yet?
Let me bring
it up here. And let's...
So on this one, they had Donnie wearing the camouflage tree shirt.
Yeah.
And James is wearing camouflage tree pants. So it's the same idea as the Caleb Clay thing.
So they switched it. Also,
they just kind of switched it.
That James is wearing it's interesting that they both wear hats. It looks like James is wearing a camouflage visor, whereas Donnie had the camouflage shirt, but a different canvas color hat.
Yeah, the infamous Orlando hat and jeans. Yes.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay. What's your take on James? What's the prediction?
I hate to say this. I do have him as a bit of an early boot because I feel like there's still going to be some Donnie, sort of like that whole paranoia that they had about Donnie and getting Donnie out, things like that. I just feel like he'll have a hard time connecting socially.
So you think that he is going to struggle to fit in like Donnie, or you think that he's going to
kind of
be, or do you think that people are going to say, oh, America's going to love him because he's wearing camo and that we have to get rid of him?
Yeah, I think the comparisons are just going to be naturally made.
Hmm.
And I feel like he'll have a hard time fitting in as well. So I think that's just not a good combo.
Yeah, I do think he's going to struggle, but I think it's going to be more of an age thing. And I think it's a testament to how good Derek was last season that he was largely able to overcome the age difference. Because in this Big Brother house where everybody's like in their 20s and then somebody's like in their 30s, and he's only 31, but I suspect he's like an old 31. Like, it's a big difference of being a single 30, mm-hmm. 31, as opposed to like 31 and like with kids and like really having like gone through a lot of stuff. And I wonder if he's going to be able to really hang with if a lot of young people are running the house. I could definitely see him being a pre-merge or pre-jury boot.
Pre-jury boot, yeah. And like I said, I really don't know how placement is going to work this year, given that there has to just be an absurd number of buybacks for it to even mathematically work. But yeah, I don't see him doing well. Let me put it that way.
Okay. We'll see. I could see him connecting with somebody like a Clay. They have the bond of being from the South also. So I would not be surprised if he actually did do well. But if I had one of Clay's guns to my head, I think I would say probably out before the jury.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree.
Okay. All right, let's get to some comments about James from The Basketball Boss, who says, as the first BB contestant from South Carolina since Marvin Lattimore, James fall in line with the mediocre reality show contestants that have already been from South Carolina, such as Chelsea Meisner, Jay Byers, Krista Klump, Jerry Sims, etc.? Hashtag RHAP.
Well, who's calling Chelsea Meisner mediocre? Did you see her oil herself up in that one episode?
Whoa, jeez, whoa. that's what the basketball boss's word, not mine, Ian.
Fair enough.
Okay, so we'll see. I think he can be good. The bar is not super high for best contestant from South Carolina.
Marvin, that actually is quite a high bar.
Marvin has already reached out to me. We're going to get Marvin on a podcast this season.
Good. I cannot wait for that.
Love Marvin. Okay. Let's talk about Real BG Low wants to know, will this be the crazy James that sucks? Come on. Come on.
Oh, man. I think the James that sucks is already Crazy James, right?
Who is the James that sucks? Besides Crazy James,
Ryan is James, the James that doesn't suck.
James that doesn't suck. Is there another Big Brother James?
No. Okay. I want to say no.
All right. So it will be hard pressed for James to. I mean, Crazy James got, you know, at least he made the jury.
So did James Ryan.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, for this James, I think that it would be that he has to get decently far into the game to not be the James that sucks.
Okay, fair enough. True.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Christopher Frick says, James looks like Mookie from Survivor Fiji and Donnie had a child. Let's not get it too much into this cross with this. It's danger. Tread lightly. People.
Yeah.
Shepherd Six says, I could see James in the final four. What do you think?
No, I thought we just said that wasn't likely.
No, probably not. Okay. We're going to say no. We're selling James in the final four. Chris Carrillo wants to know, he said in his bio that his favorite players were Zach and Victoria because he thought they were loyal. Can I get your takes on this? LOL. Another LOL. Yes.
Yeah, that Victoria part's kind of leaving me.
Look, the BB17 cast loves the BB16 cast.
Nobody, I wonder why.
Nobody got on Big Brother 17 saying, boy, you know what sucked? Big Brother 16. I hated that season.
It probably comes down to they're in Hotel Sequester and they go, all right, you ready to watch some Big Brother DVDs? They go, yeah, what seasons do you got? This is my experience, Rob. Yeah, what seasons do you got? And they're like, well, what do you want to watch? I go, do you have four? No. All right, how about three? I'm kind of feeling three. I don't have that either. How about seven? No. Well, what do you have? Me? Please don't be 11 or 13. Please don't be 11 or 13. We have 11 and 13. And I'm like, I'll take 11.
Okay.
So it probably was they had 16 given to them in Sequester.
Yeah. Okay. Sports Lover says, I like James and I don't like James. I feel like if he takes on a villain role or plays with Mercy, he can win. I could also see an Austin James like summer. Will we see a King James?
No, James Ryan will forever and always be King James.
King James. Okay, let's take a couple more questions. Miranda says, James's casting videos on YouTube with the Taylor Swift cutout on full display in the background. Boy, if I'm Taylor Swift, I think I am not going to probably show up for BB Takeover this summer if I hear about that. I think that's probably the one reason Taylor Swift doesn't show up for BB Takeover.
Shake it off, right?
Shake it off. Shake it off. Yes or no? Tell me right now. Ariana Grande, does she show up for BB Takeover?
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. They can't even get Ariana Grande?
No, no.
Even
as, no way.
Even if Frankie Grande is like, can you please just do this for me? It's going to be a big favor for me. Please, 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 please.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Kill me now.
Yeah. S. Watson, will James have a disadvantage like Dan for being adopted? That's a Survivor joke. That's a joke.
Dan Foley.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Trisha wants to say, motion for Rob to do impressions of the House Guest intros videos for the exiled non-All Access people. Well, I have to do the whole video? that'd be tough. That would be a challenge. You didn't miss anything. Just watch this. You didn't miss it. You didn't miss anything. You didn't miss anything. All right. And do we have any more questions about James, or should we move on? You ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on.
Let's move on.
I am so ready to move on.
All right, let's talk about, here is Jason. Is it Jason Roy, or is it pronounced Wah?
Let's go with
Jason Roy.
I think it's Jason Roy.
Jason Roy. He's from Massachusetts. He is a supermarket cashier, and I think he's an interesting guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a super fan. One of a few real super fans on the guy's side. And here is Jason. And boy, I have to say, he is certainly a character.
He absolutely is. I think this could be fun. It could be.
Could be fun. He is a guy that he is, I don't know, if you didn't watch his videos, I don't even know how to describe him, that he is, I mean, he does like it seems like he's like a little kid, but he's not. He's actually 25, and he is somebody who's way, way into Big Brother, and he is, he's gay. He talks about that he's going to make alliance with all the girls in the house. But he's got like a kind of a mean streak to him. Like, I could see him being very popular outside of the house, but I feel like he's going to struggle inside the house.
Yeah, I definitely could see that as well, Rob. I don't know. There's a comparison that I could see happening here with the Survivor contestant.
Yes, which Survivor contestant?
I don't know. Do I want to go to this? But Colton, you think?
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, maybe without the racism,
yes,
or whatever the issue was,
negative connotation comes along with that. I put in my notes, I thought he was super awkward, and I feel like he definitely seems like he's going to be up to something. Like, I feel like I would walk in the house and I would see like, oh, this guy seems like he is going to cause trouble.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to play pretty hard, and that might be to his detriment.
Yeah. Yeah. He said about himself, he said that people are going to walk in and think that he's just like a nice kid and he's not really there to play the game. He's just excited, which, Ian, I felt like was something that you were able to do particularly well in Big Brother 14. And I think that you might have ruined it for some of these guys that we're going to talk about tonight. But I actually disagree with Jason greatly, that I feel like people are going to look at him and think he's there only to play the game.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be chicken Georging it, as I called it.
Yeah, no, I think that Jason is going to have trouble here. I think he's in for... he loves the show so much, and he's just so, he seems like he's going to be, you know, playing very, very hard from the start. And if his plan is to get all of the women together, he says that he's going to be the gay glue in the all girls alliance. He says the reason why the girls alliance fails is that it doesn't have that gay glue in there, which he's going to be to sort of keep it together. He is going to be targeted immediately by the guys in the house.
Yeah, that's not really a great call because, he sticks out like a sore thumb in that alliance. And it's kind of like, hey, why aren't you with our side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be the linchpin a lot of times that holds it together, because then you might go up.
Yeah. He's got sort of a weird thing with, like, I've seen him in his interviews and in his picture. He has, like, a collared shirt, and then he has, like, this, like, a thing that connects the collar in between. Do you know what that is?
It's like a chain tie.
A chain tie? Is that a thing?
Well, I know in Texas they have string ties. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. What is that called? Like a bolo tie. That's like the thing that has like the string and then the thing in the middle. But this tie is just like sort of like a gold chain that like connects like the two sides of the collar.
I don't know what that is. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah. But
he also has the top button button, the infamous Tim LaMaster look.
Is Jason pulling it off?
He is pulling it off.
Yeah. I think he's going to be really good TV, but I think that he is going to be a big target. Like, I don't know if his social game is as good as he thinks it is.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, but I don't know. I really don't think that it's going to be... I don't think he's going to do well, let me put it that way.
Yeah, but he is, like, great casting, though. I feel like he's somebody who is going to be very fun to watch for as long as he's there.
Yeah, and I mean, the cashier thing, how much do we want to bet that he gets his key on, like, the conveyor belt, like, it's, like, in a pile with, like, broccoli and stuff like that?
Boop.
Yeah.
Boop.
Yep, exactly.
Like, oh, my God, his key! And then you know that he's going to come into the house and say he's a supermarket cashier. And then we're going to get a confessional of somebody like, so this guy, Jason, he says he's a supermarket cashier. Yeah, like, yeah, right. No way. Made up job that is.
Dang it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, he might be in a better spot to just lie about his job, but lie up in this case.
Yeah, he's got like a weird job. He like loads the supermarket like at nighttime also.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And so I think he will be very fun. And I hope that people like him in the house. But I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure on this one.
It seems to me like he's saying his strategy is going to be he's going to come into the house. He loves the girls. He's going to unite the girls. But I feel like if he does that at the expense of making relationships on an entire side of the house, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it is. That is not going to be too good. I'm not high on this guy's chances, Rob.
Yeah. His voice is great, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right. Let's take some questions here about Jason. Here we go. Let's start with Derek H., who says, compare BB17 Jason to BB9 Joshua. All he has to do is make suicide jokes and be a general jerk. Is that a comparison that you would make, Ian?
I mean, it's not something that jumps right off the bat to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Jacob says, which gay guy is he more like, Andy or Frankie? I think this is another area we need to tread lightly.
Let me put it this way. I thought it was really interesting. Andy yesterday was like, you know, I was kind of hoping for like a chill, down to earth gay guy. And Jason is one that on his Twitter profile lists in his bio the day Nicki Minaj followed him, which I think is pretty telling.
Yeah. And I feel like both of those guys that we mentioned, some of their strengths were to make relationships with both the men and the women in the house. Mm-hmm. Neither of those people only focus their attention on one side of the house. So I think that both of those guys are going to be players that go further into the game than Jason.
And that's why I do kind of, and I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I get like that Colton vibe where the orange, I can't remember the name of the tribe at this point, the orange team did not take to him at all. Yeah.
This is from Rachel C., who says, I can see Jason being a Colton type character from Survivor. Damn you, Ian. You said it before me, like literally as I was typing this.
Manono. That's it. But yes.
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 All right. So Ian is reading the minds of some of the listeners. Okay, let's take a few more questions. Okay, Anthony says, will Jason be the annoying super fan? He's watched every English-speaking Big Brother season. Hopefully he's watched Big Brother Canada 3. Do you think he'll be annoying?
Every English-speaking Big Brother, including the British and Australian ones, that to me is, that's interesting stuff.
It's an interesting stuff.
Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, I certainly couldn't do it.
Bill Methling says, Jason comes off as Vanessa Bayer's SNL Weekend Update character, the Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy.
I don't watch SNL, sorry.
I don't know.
I really don't watch much TV.
I don't know if I'm going to co-sign that either. Let's do from Nathan Fisher. Jason is going to get on everybody's nerves this season and be gone early. That being said, he's going to give us one hell of an exit interview.
Yeah, that actually should be pretty interesting.
That'll be pretty good. I bet he'd be good on a podcast, too. Sports Lover says, all I can say is Pee Wee Herman. Come on! He is not a Pee Wee Herman.
I also saw the comparison where me multiplied by Pee Wee Herman equals him, which is a little bit scary. I'm not sure that I want to be multiplying with Pee Wee Herman anytime soon.
All right, we'll see. Jason, I think, is going to be interesting to watch here. On the premiere, somebody who will be very fun. How's he doing on Jokers? How's Jason holding up?
How is Jason holding up on Jokers? Well, according to the Jokers official rating history, he is coming in at number 5 out of 14, which is pretty strong.
Name check Jokers updates in his interview with Jeff also.
Okay. Well, I mean,
they like that.
Probably a good sign to start off with. But no, he is currently sitting at number 5. Of course, Joker's ratings are meaningless preseason and also meaningless during the season and after the season as well.
How dare you, so, Ian? How dare you?
Preseason especially, because I think last year they had Christine at
Joey,
number 1.
Wasn't it? Joey was very high up.
She was quite popular, but Christine was by like far and wide number 1.
Well, they'll turn preseason. On you. They'll turn on you quick.
They will turn on you quick.
Like that.
Like, you know, and like I said, you know, Joker's popularity has it absolutely right. You know, Alyssa, number 1 for quite a while for being related to someone that worked with Jeff and Jordan. So, you know.
Hey, whatever
it takes. Their taste is in the right place, right?
Yes. All right, before we get to our next person, let's just want to take a quick moment and thank our friends over at Mazda who want to ask, does driving matter to you? There's over 4 million miles of road in the U.S. to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, long ways. They're all there waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque or just keep going? Do you wake up early on a Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does? Or do you take the long, winding road home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out there and drive. Why? Because driving matters. Mazda. All right. Let's go ahead and let's go to our next person. Here we go. Can't wait to talk about this guy.
This is absolutely my favorite out of any of the ones that we're talking about tonight.
We're talking about the rock and roll dentist from Scranton, PA. It's John McGuire.
This guy seems like a complete head case, but I love him. All hail King John.
King John.
Right now. Like this guy, I mean, honestly, this dude seems funny. This is what the show needs. Like, I actually feel like it's kind of a shame that we're getting this 90-day season or 97-day season where it's twisted, twisty, twisty, twisto, twist every week. Probably a million buybacks, because if this were a straight up 75-day season, I think that we have the makings of a decent cast just from the addition of a few people, and this is one of them. I think that this guy is going to be excellent entertainment, whether he's hated or liked.
I think he's going to be so funny. He'll be great.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Ian, I'm very worried he's not making it out of the 2-night premiere. He's the first one out.
And I actually, I mean, I'm kind of sweating it as well because
somebody's going home. By the way, we didn't set this up at the top of the show. Somebody's going to go home. It's a 2-night premiere Wednesday and Thursday of this upcoming week. Somebody's going out by the end of the second night.
Now, here's the thing. Is it the second episode, or is it like Big Brother Canada, where they're in there for like 8 days and we're just seeing day eight?
Yeah, second episode. I'm not sure if it's going to be live either. And like, maybe it'll be the kind of thing where they have a whole week in the first, like whatever, and then we're seeing a live eviction on Thursday to get us into the regular rhythm.
Which would be unfortunate either way, because that means that whoever goes that night, we don't see on feed. And realistically, this is someone who I'm really hoping carries the feed. I mean, I read his bio and I was like, this guy is great. I don't care that he doesn't like me.
Yeah, well, let's, talk about that.
I don't care. This guy is good.
Kudos to you, Ian, for liking this guy, for not letting your personal feelings interfere with knowing that this guy is fantastic casting. They said, which past Big Brother cast member did you like most? And I mean, the guy has like a Bobcat Goldthwait voice. His voice is really great. I'm still working on it, so I don't want to screw it up by attempting it now. But he says, this changes a lot as I get older. Right now, I'm going to avoid saying that I ever liked anyone because my next sentence would confirm I'm a hypocrite. I hate watching nerdy know-it-alls like Ian, Nicole, and Derek because they let their knowledge of the game turn into hero worship, and it's not what I watched the game for. So he hates nerdy know-it-alls like you, Ian.
I don't care. This guy is going to be great. Good TV. I do not care. I could care less.
Ian, if you had 300 cavities, would you ever let this guy work on your teeth?
I mean, honestly, I just want the tips about how he was able to end relationships with girls without it becoming messy. I really feel like that's like... I mean, I'm still working on this technique.
Boy, who would you compare him to? What previous house guest would you compare him to?
I don't even think there is anyone to compare this guy to. He seems like a totally fresh casting
archetype.
See, I think
I have half of him. I need to know that X plus Nick Juhas equals John, but I can't put my finger on what X is.
I mean, he here's the thing. He is actually Dr. John. Like, the guy does have a MDD.
Yeah.
He is Dr. John. I think that's something that people might forget because he seems to be like this wacky character, but he's bright. That's something that we need to not forget about. And I really like this guy. But Nick Juhas, that kind of, I can see it a little bit, and I think he is going to be like probably the most wolfy of the guys in here for sure. But this guy is good TV. I'm all for it. So yeah, team TV.
Your team TV, team John McGuire. Amazingly, Big Brother 17, first John in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, that actually is something I noticed immediately. It's like they finally got the most common name in there.
Yeah. Well, it took 17 seasons to get a John in the Big Brother house. So there you go. So here he is. They asked him, what are you afraid of? And his fear is that the 90s won't come back.
Perfect answer. I love it. I absolutely love it. This is exactly, it's that kind of thing. The other thing that was in the Jeff interview is like, is there anything you want to say to all the people watching out there? And he just goes, hi. And then Jeff's like, is that it? And he's like, yeah.
The reason why he needs to win the money is because he's currently $250,000 in debt. Now, is this a medical school thing?
I think that's dental school. Yeah.
Dental school. That's that much to go to dental school.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely expensive. And on top of that, he said something about wanting to save his parents' lake house.
From what?
Is that, I think that that's part of the problem, is that I think when he's saying $200,000 in debt, I think it includes dental school. And then apparently like his parents' lake house is like in a spot where it could get, like they might like, you know, they might lose this lake house, and I think he wants to save it. So I think that's also included in the $250,000 debt.
Yeah. He's so great.
And I hope that, let me just put it this way. I hope that this guy saves his parents' lake house. Like, I think that if this guy wins, it can only mean good things.
Yeah. Well, it'll mean that we had one hell of a summer, if that's what ultimately happened.
Exactly.
We had the best summer ever.
It's, who did we say that about in the past? Like, if this Devin? Guy wins, No, that's not who we said. Was it last year or was it, Zach Rantz.
Yeah, it would have been.
It would have been. This guy wins. It is the best summer ever. And that's what I'm going to say. If John wins this thing, it is going to be fantastic. I mean, this guy, he's not my winner pick. My winner pick is not talked about tonight, but we'll get to that at the end, I'm sure.
Okay. So as far as he goes, he also is going to be somebody who is going to be very polarizing. Does America love John or do they hate John? Because America loves Zach Rantz, but will America love John?
You know, that's actually a really good question. And I feel like as of now, America does not like him. But realistically, I think people are a team TV. And he might not be number one with jokers, but I feel like he's going to have quite a lot of popularity.
See, I feel like he's going to come off more negative than Zach. Like, I feel like Zach was sort of a lovable, like, because he was like a kid and he was more mischievous than John is coming off. First off, people don't like dentists. And, you know, look, I love dentists, but there's a lot of anti-dentism out there, Ian.
Anti-dentite, yes.
There's a lot of anti-dentites out there. He's got that against him. Look, there was a guy on The Amazing Race. People didn't love Jim, the dentist, on The Amazing Race. And I feel like that the the anti-dentites, plus I think he comes off as very negative in what he's saying. Like, I think he's an acquired taste. Now, we know immediately that we're going to love this guy, but I feel like America is not going to love that. And the feline-friendly feminine audience out there, I feel like, is not going to love John. When I looked at the Joker's poll, he was dead last.
Yeah, and that's a shame. And I think that really goes to show, you know, let's reevaluate where we are taking our evaluations of popularity from. Like, I don't think that looking at a Joker's graph is really like evaluated in any way of good taste. I mean, I think that
exit poll.
I really think, like, let me put it this way. If you want to know, like, what's a pretty accurate gauging, you probably want to go to the Big Brother Reddit, because I think Survivor Sucks is, I think they generally just, that's the man hating website.
Well, do they do straw poll on the Big Brother Reddit?
They have like some sort of popularity poll, but I feel like that's probably your most fair, accurate cluster of reasonably intelligent people making calls. So I think the Big Brother Reddit's probably your best bet there.
Okay. If there is a straw poll on the Big Brother Reddit, definitely I'd love to get a link to that. I try to follow that as much as I can. All right. So let's get some comments about John. I'm sure that they will be good. Can't wait for John. So excited about him. Chris says, this guy is like a Captain Kosher and Chef Joe combined. What do you think of that?
I think that's just, I don't think that's giving him enough credit.
Yeah. You think he's, you think that's lowballing John?
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. I think people are asking for the link to the Big Brother Reddit. It's of course, reddit.com/r/Big Brother. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And that is probably the premier place to get good discussion on it. Yeah.
This is from our next person, Jacob Brabant, says, John is most comparable to who? Primetime 99, Ginger Ninja, or Rancy Pants? I'll let you pick two out of three.
I'm going to say Primetime 99.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's a really good comparison.
Right, so
I love that.
I
love Primetime 99. I think that it was let me put it this way. I felt good about the fact that he was voted out, only in that I wasn't going to miss watching his antics in summer 2012. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Primetime 99 for sure. As far as the other one, I'm not sure. I mean, that's a toss up, but Primetime 99 for sure.
So is he the comp is Primetime 99 or Primetime 99 plus Nick Juhas equals John?
I think a little bit of that. Yeah.
Wow. Can't believe it. I feel like Primetime 99, I feel like he hung it up. I feel like he got out the game.
I don't know. I mean, Primetime 99 he should have been on Big Brother. Not necessarily the same season as me, but I mean, gosh, I would have so enjoyed that. I mean, that guy is so entertaining.
Bobby Kelly,
probably the most entertaining non-CBS reality contestant of all time.
Wow. Bobby Kelly in the chat room says, yeah, Alex Stein is another annoying idiot Rob loves for no reason. That's right. That's right.
I mean, I think there's plenty of reason.
All right. A Mile Away says, I feel like John is a hybrid of Matt Hoffman and McRae. I don't know about that.
That's an interesting one. Haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. I don't feel like either of those guys were as outspoken as John appears to be. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of agree.
Okay. All right. So this is from the Basketball Boss. Says, in one of John's interviews, I remember him saying that he will tell everyone he's a dentist because the fake occupation thing doesn't work often. Do you co-sign this? Also, I think that John's winning this thing. Mark my words, #RHJP. Yeah, he said about this that being a dentist is like nobody voted off Dr. Will because he was a doctor, and he can't remember a time that somebody said, well, I'm not going to vote for that guy because he already has enough money. So he doesn't see any reason to not say he's a dentist. Buy or sell?
Buy. I think that lying about your occupation like 99% of the time is stupid. I feel like not lying about your occupation is the new lying about your occupation, right? Like the cashier should probably lie about his occupation because people assume that he is lying about his occupation.
Yeah. So he should say what, he's like the manager of the supermarket? What should he say?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, because if your job, just like with Donnie, where it was like when he came in, it was like, oh, hey, I'm a groundskeeper. And everybody is like, no way, Donnie's a groundskeeper. He's a former Green Beret. And people didn't buy that he was a groundskeeper. Yeah. Yeah. So I think you're right. Not lying is the new not lying. Shepherd Six says, probably the best casting since Tony from Survivor. Are you buying that?
Sure. I mean, that's a bold statement to make this early, but sure.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Shepherd Six. Okay. Do we have any other questions about John? Here we go. From Beth says, John reminds me of Matt from BB12. So I didn't see a lot of Matt Hoffman parallels. Does he look like Matt Hoffman? Is that where that's coming from?
Not really. No. I mean, he's quite pale. He's about the same as the background.
Yeah. John also said that a lot of people will talk to him because he's a dentist, because he said people like to talk about their teeth, and they'll come up to him and be like, hey, I got this one filling, and sometimes when I drink hot stuff, it bothers me. And I think he might be right about this.
About that. And I thought that it was kind of weird out of context, but then when you think about it, it actually does make some sense.
Yeah, God knows if I met a dentist, I would talk about all sorts of things. So
I think it'll be fun.
John is good. It's good.
Yeah, I'm all for.
We're all in on John, even though what do you think he does placement wise? This is the big question.
He'll either flame out immediately or he'll go very deep. And I want to say he goes deep. I just want to say that he goes deep. I actually think I really want him to go deep. It's kind of wishful thinking on my part, but I'm going to say he goes deep. I hope you're right. To do well.
I hope you're right. Everything about him tells me that he is out early. He is first or second boot.
And I hope I'm wrong. That if he is, then I hope he gets the buyback because we're going to have a lot of that this summer, and I just hope he does really well.
Great. He's great.
Yeah, he is really fantastic TV.
This is from Unicorn Street on Twitter. It says, Jason's chain tie looks like what dentists used to clip on the paper bib. It's a natural alliance with Jason. Oh, John.
It's a twist. That's the twist. That's the twist.
Yeah. Brandon Arnold says, Zach equals unemployed equals underdog. John equals doctor equals hated. Is it a class thing?
No. Let's remind ourselves, Dr. Will is one of the most popular contestants of all time, and Alyssa, who, you know, would complain about her Range Rover being delivered a day late on the feeds, was also extremely popular in 15. So I think that's a little bit of an exception.
I feel like
the Land Rover or whatever it was, yeah. Range Rover. No, Land Rover, right?
Do you think that Zach's popularity was because that he was a good looking young kid, and John, well, he's a handsome man. You know, he probably doesn't have, his looks aren't as good as Zach, you would say, and he's a little bit of an older guy.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'd say John is probably pretty good looking. I feel like Zach did have the whole youthful thing going on. A lot of people compared him to the human embodiment of Where the Wild Things Are, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like that was a lot of where Zach's popularity came in. But Zach went out of his way to entertain us and make good TV, and I feel like he was very successful at it. And if we get John, who can do something like that, I think it's going to mean good things.
Yeah. We do say, and we said it all through Big Brother Canada 3, that the recipe for success on Big Brother, especially in Big Brother Canada, is get in the minority alliance, be outside of the numbers, go in the diary room, talk about how stupid everybody else is in the house, have a target on your back, have to fight back against the establishment in the house. John could certainly follow that recipe.
I don't know. I feel like he's someone that has in the big giant 12 person out of 14 alliance, you know, right off there. But I mean, I think he'll be interesting.
He did say that he doesn't want to be in the big alliance. And if he was, he said it would be smart for his game, but he would hate it. And he would try to sabotage it all the time to make good TV.
See, this is why I love this guy. This guy is going to be fun to watch. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care that he's 13th in your Joker's updates ratings. I mean, this is going to be good TV. Yeah. You said, what did you say? Large alliances are effective, but I'd hate to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, perfect answer.
Perfect answer. Okay. Let's go ahead and we have one more question on John. Okay. This is from Places Between. Myself and a lot of other ladies I know already love John. How about that, Ian?
There you go.
Yeah. Where were these ladies when you were on Big Brother, Ian?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Okay, two more. See, Scott's telling me two more John questions. Christopher says, if John is aware of his wackiness, he could channel it to his advantage. You mentioned him being smart, but if he does have the brains, he can exploit the better versions of his weird traits and become the Greg Bowie of the dentists. Wow.
Actually, I like that. He's good. This will be good. Oh, ooh, I hope the dentist is the first one out. I hope not.
The Zeddy boy. How could anybody?
I hope not.
If you hope the dentist, John the dentist, is the first person out, then why are you even watching Big Brother?
Yeah. You are not Team TV, are you?
You are not Team TV. Wow, I can't believe we're bringing back Team TV tonight. Okay. That's it. All right. That's it for talk about John the dentist. Let's go to our one last person to talk about here tonight. It's a good thing we broke this up into men and women, because we're going on 2 hours talking on just the men. All right.
Right.
Here
well,
he is.
I mean, I feel like we spent 90% of this on J names, right? I think there's only two guys that aren't J.
Three. Three. Austin Clay and Steve. All right. Here is Steve Moses, who I'm sure many people are going to look at this and say, I wonder what Ian has to say, because I feel like that this is maybe the closest we've gotten to another Ian in the Big Brother house since Ian Terry. Your thoughts?
You know what I have to say? Here's what I have to say to this, Rob. And I will be right back. I will be right back with my answer to this question.
Okay, so Ian, all right.
Here's what it is.
Here's what we're doing. So Ian is getting up. He has walked away from the computer right now. And he is detached from his headphones. He's bringing back a prop, I think, maybe, kind of a la Carrot Top.
Wireframes are out, Rob.
All right, so he is...
No one wears wireframes anymore. Wireframes are so out. You have to wear thick frames like these ones. That is what is in. You know, Ian Terry, Jordan Parhar, Lee Sangmin. Thick frames are in.
Thick frames are
not
in.
Not wireframes.
Wireframes are out, Steve.
Yes.
Got that?
Way out. Way, way out.
Now, interestingly, Steve feels like, as a super fan, though, he is not going to play this like an Ian Terry. What did you think about those comments that he made?
You know, this is actually where I was going to lead into this on drinking. He said that he's not going to play it like Ian Terry. And then he's like, he smoked a lot drank a lot, and yelled at a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay. Well, how did I drink a lot? With what? The 1/3 of a can each we get a night? I mean, come on.
Well, compared to Steve Moses, that is drinking a lot, because Steve is not going to drink. He does not smoke. And he said that he felt like that Ian Terry tried to be make everybody think he was cool in the house, and that was his game. And Steve will not be following that blueprint.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that, because I'll tell you, the first week I would walk around like, oh, did you know that WD-40 stands for water displacement 40th attempt? And Mike Bowie was like, cut that shit out because no one likes it. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Now, Steve is not going to have.
Party. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Steve is not going to have a Mike Boogie. Unless Mike Boogie comes back and is the first person for a BB takeover, then maybe Mike Boogie will be there to take him under his wing.
Well, I sure hope so.
Boy, that would be kind of, I mean, what if it was like, okay, first night, Boogie and Will come in, Big Brother takeover.
Well, that would be pretty good. I mean, that's a good way to keep people watching.
Yeah, that would be fun if they do stuff like that. Like, that's why I'm saying that I'm not going to totally poo-poo BB takeover, because it could potentially have, but if it's like, okay, hey, here is like a star of film and screen, Kurt Russell, like a big, like, hey, what's going on?
You know, what I really have to say is that I think I understand that the issue is if you have 16 plus two people, it's just a lot of people to have in a house at once. I just don't get how 14 in a 90 some day season is going to work. And that's what scares me the most about this twist. It's not that there's going to be twist after twist, because some of the twists will probably just not, will be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very little minor inconveniences, I'm sure. But the thing that really worries me is that it makes it difficult for me to understand how there's going to be any sort of game structure at all if you have that long of a season with that few people.
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible that we don't have an eviction every week?
I don't know about that.
What would the structure of the show be then?
Exactly. I mean, what are they going to do? Games week, you know?
I don't know, Ian. I don't know. Let's stick on Steve. So tell me about Steve, that they actually referred to him in his Big Brother. Was it in his Big Brother bio that he was referred to as Sheldon Cooper somewhere? Often compared to Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Steve is a genius who learned early on how to kiss up to his high school teachers and manipulate them, giving him top recommendations for Cornell, the Ivy League university where he ended up studying medical engineering. Boy, a comparison to Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. That's not what you really want in your bio, right, on Big Brother?
Probably not. I mean, if this guy, I mean, Cornell, I actually am already impressed.
Sure, it's impressive, but in a social game, does being compared to one of the most antisocial characters in the history of television, is that a ringing endorsement?
That's bad. Well, that is not a ringing endorsement, but I'll say Cornell, that's pretty impressive.
Sure, I'm not taking anything away from Steve.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh wow, Cornell. I'm like, this guy is much smarter. Like, that was the thing I was at first. I was like, what? I was like, does this guy even go to a prestige school? I mean, what is he supposed to be, the smart guy? I mean, come on. But now I'm hearing he went to Cornell. Like, I'm actually really impressed.
Yeah. All right, but so Cornell, you know, all well and good. Cornell is a fine university for Steve. Congratulations to Steve, but. And listening to him, like, he is like super logical in what he's talking about. Does he stand a chance in this house?
You know, that's the thing. I'm a little bit worried about that. He doesn't look good and is a very plastic glam cast. And I don't know that it's going to be a good thing for him.
I really don't know. Now, how do you think that he's going to work with our other super fan that we've mentioned from earlier, with Jason? Jason and Steve, do they get along? Do they hate each other?
I don't think they get along.
Yeah, I think they hate each other.
I don't think they get along at all.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I like that they're both in there. Who wins out?
I mean, does making it to week two count as winning out, Rob?
You think they could go out back to back?
Maybe. I mean, it could happen. I don't know. It's entirely possible.
Yeah. You know, we've seen so many different times in the last few years on Big Brother where we have some sort of a big bro alliance to start the game. Do you see that happening with these seven guys that we talked about tonight?
That actually would be pretty exciting.
You that it would not happen or that it will happen?
Well, I don't think it'll happen because of the makeup of the group.
Yeah, I agree. This doesn't seem like a group where we say, okay, well, that you know, you have a couple
of... It would be exciting if it did because it would implode pretty quickly and it would be fun to watch the fallout, but I don't think it happens.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it will be very fun to have this season. And I like this structure. Do you think that maybe a smaller house is going to be set up for a better season?
Here's the thing. Like I said, if this were a 14-person game with 75 days and pretty straightforward twist, I think, or, you know, pretty straightforward play, this is probably going to be a pretty good season just from the cast. I think it looks pretty interesting. That being said, I don't necessarily know that the smaller group is going to make it good or interesting at all. I don't think it's a good thing, to be really honest. I really don't think that it's good. 97 days and 14 people, there has to be at least like two or three buybacks for it to even work. I mean, it's just, to me, I think it's going to get too twisted for my liking.
Yeah, because you feel like multiple people are going to be coming back. So we're going to bring somebody back in the jury, somebody back in the post jury.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Too much going on. Just put them in there and let it go.
So do you think that we will get additional players? Is that possible? Do you think that Big Brother is going to add in two more players at any point? Or do you think that 14 will be the maximum number of players? People are still saying in Periscope that there's 16 spots in the memory wall. Do you buy into that?
You know, that 16 spots in the memory wall thing is interesting. Do you think it's possible that maybe one of the squares is the logo and one of the squares is whoever the special guest is that week? You know, they've done that before. 14-person memory wall, center square is just the show's logo. Okay.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, let's keep going about Steve, that he is refers to himself as brilliant, innocent, and deep. He says he loves Danielle Reyes, and he is afraid of heights. What do you think of that?
It's not going to be good with that sky bridge.
No, it's not going to be good with the sky bridge. Okay. And he also has something unusual about him. He sleeps with a teddy bear named Coco. What do you think of that?
Okay. I mean, not exactly blazing any new trail there. I mean, I had Snakey for a while in the house.
But he isn't going to have Coco with him in the house. This is the longest that he's going to be going without sleeping with Coco since he was 10.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So he started sleeping. He like picked up that habit at 10. Like, I feel like if you pick that habit up at 10, like that's you like actively said, like, I think it'd be a really good idea to sleep with a stuffed bear. Like, that seems like something you would start younger and then carry it on at 10. That seems like it's an active decision on your part.
Yeah. And perhaps a related story, Steve is also a 22-year-old virgin.
I mean, good for him, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
that's fun.
Well, it depends. Is that a life choice? Is that something that he'd like to work on? If he would like to not be a virgin, I would say probably maybe Coco not sleep in the bed. I think that could only help.
Yeah, I mean, it gets crowded with three.
three's a crowd. Coco takes up space.
Coco does. Coco takes up space.
So we'll see. Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and doesn't stop him from being the wildest or loudest guy in his fraternity. How about that? But I bet that's a fun crowd. Steve, yeah, wildest guy in our fraternity.
I don't quite get it. Is it a sober frat? Does that exist?
Yeah. And, boy, if Steve, who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, 22-year-old virgin, sleeps with a teddy bear, that's the wildest and craziest guy in the fraternity. That is does not sound like a fun group.
I heard that they had a pretty good Parcheesi rager the other weekend.
Yeah. And then he also says that he is the master of disguise and manipulation strategies to play the childlike, less intelligent young virgin who sleeps with a teddy bear. All right, so maybe he could be beloved in the house.
And that I blazed that trail already. You gotta come on something.
Well, that's the
kids.
Thing. In a post Ian Terry world, how? I mean, unless he's banking on that the super fans or the Mactors didn't see Big Brother 14. How in a post Ian Terry world is this plan going to work?
I mean, you know what? It very well could. It's just I don't think that this is a cast. I feel like that would have worked a lot better last year where the men were much more alpha in general. This year, it just doesn't seem like there are a lot of alpha males.
Yeah, there are not a ton of alpha males in the house. I think that he's better served in this house than some of the previous house with some of the previous house guests that we've seen on the show. So I don't think he's dead in the water. But
I think that would have worked. His strategy that he's purporting would have worked better in 16 than this one.
Oh.
I don't think it would have worked well in 15.
Okay, so do you feel like that he is set up okay here, or do you think he's in trouble?
I think he's in trouble, but I mean, I feel like.
All right, tell me this.
He could slip by.
Who, if you had to play for your life, would you bet on Steve or Jason?
I'm going to say in a lot, what, a win, must win or
no,
last
no,
longer?
No, last longer. And don't make a virgin joke, Ian.
I'm going to say Steve.
Steve. I feel like that Jason is going to have a better social game. Like, at least I know that the women are going to like having Jason around. I don't know if anybody's going to love Steve true. In the house.
That's true.
And Ian, let me just give you a compliment here, because I think that you did a really good job of, you know, trying to fit in with the house that you were in and being willing to do whatever it took to fit in. Oh, okay. People want me to be like this. Let me be like this. I feel like Steve is coming into the house somewhat rigid of a lot. There's a lot of things I'm not going to do already.
Yeah, that was the thing. And I noticed this was like his answers on his questionnaire, like in his bio, they seemed very negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you notice that? Like, it was kind of like, I don't like stupid people that will not take responsibility for their actions and the consequences that come with them. And it just came off to me as like he had some sort of superiority complex against people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Chads of the world, if you will. But to me, it seemed very negative and he seemed very rigid. I mean, I was in the house, you know, getting called to the diary room and say, like, you are absolutely not allowed to let Dan and Boogie waterboard you. We don't care how much this will make you fit in. You may not get waterboarded. You know, like I was standing, we were actively.
Wait, Dan and Boogie were going
to
waterboard you?
Yeah. You don't remember this? There was a night pretty early on. It's still during I think it was during the coaches phase. And they were like, you know, we don't know what it's like to be waterboarded. Like Dan said, he's like, would you be willing to get waterboarded? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, if that'll make me fit in and like we all are like sitting around cheering, yeah, I would get waterboarded to fit in with this group. Yeah, they had to call me into the diary room and say, you absolutely are not allowed to do that. Like, I was willing to get waterboarded, you know, and I don't think this guy is. So,
yeah, if you're willing to go into the house and be like, hey, I haven't had a ton of life experience, but I'm here now to because I want to experience the world. I'm here on Big Brother. I think that person is loved in the house. I think that people like having those shared experiences. Okay, all right, let's see what happens when you let's bring you into the fold and sort of, for lack of a better word, be a mascot of here's what's happening with this group in the house. But I'm not so sure that that's what Steve wants.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So we'll see. I think that he just needs to be flexible. And if everybody in the house is having a drink, it's not going to kill Steve to have a drink.
Yeah, no, I actually agree pretty strongly. Like, if you're in a social setting where everyone's drinking, it's probably a good idea to have one and only one.
Yeah, and look, there's plenty of great reasons not to drink, and I don't know if there's specific reasons that whatever factor alcohol was in somebody's that he knows life or whatever. I'm sure there's lots of good reasons, but just to like draw a line in the sand of, you know, I will not do this, I will not do this. I feel like that's not setting yourself up too well in the Big Brother house. It'll be interesting to see how this goes with Steve.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, I hope he does well.
All right. So let's go ahead and take some questions here, and let's go to all things Big Brother. Ian 2.0. Poor man.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the poor fair man's comparison,
but what do you say?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, he has to do better than 504,000, right? So that's the bar.
The bar. Anthony S. says, did Steve steal Rob's shirt? What do you think?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Okay. Well, that doing explains a lot about both of us. I think that's that we're wearing the same thing. All right. Chris Carello says, Steve, if, like Ian, Peter Brown, Jordan Parhar had a much more awkward little brother that follows them around. Okay, so hold on, let me say that again. Steve is like if Ian, Peter Brown, and Jordan Parhar had a much more awkward little brother that follows them around. Yeah. Yeah, look, people love the Big Bang Theory. Could Jim Parsons come in and maybe be like, hey, here's Steve. I love this guy. Big Brother Takeover.
Yeah. For people that were in the discussion there, actually just want to address this really quickly. I didn't want to be waterboarded, but whenever other people in the house were like, hey, yeah, you should totally do it and try it, I was kind of like, yeah, let's go ahead and do it, because I wanted to fit in. I was willing to go to quite a lot of lengths, and I had a feeling production would put a stop to it before they actually went ahead with it. Yep. But I said I was down to do it, and hoping that I wouldn't have to follow through on it. But I said I was down on it.
No,
so.
I think it's totally a testament to you as a player of that you were willing to do anything to fit in and be liked by the people in the house, because you came in and had a rocky start at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you endeared yourself to these people. And I think that being so rigid about what you are not willing to do is not a great strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions about Steve. Sports Lover says, Big Brother is filled with big personalities, and that is one of the many reasons that BB1 sucked. Steve is not a big personality from what I've seen. Thoughts? Also, can we get a J alliance? Okay, real quick, will all the J's get together?
Let's see. No.
No. Okay. So I think that Steve is a big personality. I just don't think it's a personality that is well suited to a game that is, 90% social?
Yeah, especially with the twisty twist, it takes a huge strategic component out, which I think is where he's going to have a better time. That being said, I think if he does get far to the end, I feel like he can just memorize the stuff pretty well and do quite well at the end, which is what the comps are based on. So I feel like he holds actually quite a lot more win equity than a lot of people would care to admit right now. Just based on that, I feel like he's a boom or bust player, which I feel like could be said of a lot of the people on this cast.
Ian, Alex Kidwell wants me to ask you a Big Jeff question of, Ian, would you rather lose the game and be hated or waterboarded and win?
Oh man. We'll say lose the game and be hated. I don't think I was ever willing to go to get waterboarded, actually. But I was definitely going to say that I would get waterboarded. I remember my mother like saying, like, I looked up what that was. I can't believe you said you would do it. And I was like, Mom, I don't think they were ever gonna allow it to happen, and I probably would have chickened out had it come to that.
Yeah, that's very funny. I feel like that would have been a big news story. Also, I feel like they would have had like CNN, like on the game, on the reality TV show Big Brother. Things have gone too far where contestants are now waterboarding each other. TMZ has this footage from the live feed. Would have been a big deal, I think.
Oh yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's take another question. This is a long one. This is from Rachel Carly, who says that Steve seems like he's going to be condescending towards the other players too, which isn't super good for a social game. He's going to come in thinking he's the smartest person in the room when there are a lot of other intelligent people there too. Vanessa graduated from Duke in 2 years. Yeah, well,
yeah, Vanessa's
Steve...
a really smart cookie, and so is John. So yeah, he's not. It's not like he's the only smart one.
Yeah, doesn't Steve need to come into the house and kick himself in the head?
Well, he says he wants to act dumb. I'm interested to see how he does it.
We'll see. This is from the great Taryn Armstrong, who says, will we see a Steve and Austin alliance? You're both fans of the show, and I can see Austin wanting to take Steve under his own. Will we see a Stone Cold alliance?
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, especially as a wrestler, I feel like that Austin would probably be up for a Steve Austin alliance.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that Steve will be chugging, doing any beer chugs like Steve Austin. Yes. And this is from Ryder Mohan. Who is Steve going to bond with? I can see him potentially bonding with Meg, but I don't see him fitting in anywhere.
Yeah, I don't really see him fitting in with much of this group. That's really where the problem is. I don't think there's... See, here's the thing is talk to people that were on Big Brother 15, and we could just talk about like the Simpsons and, you know, nerdy stuff like that for hours and hours and hours with McCray and Andy. But my season, there wasn't someone like that. There wasn't anyone that I could really talk about that kind of stuff with. And I feel like that's the problem Steve is going to have. I don't feel like there's anyone to bond with for him to bond with.
Okay. Let's do one or two more questions. Christopher says, the impression of Steve seems to be that since he's not as flashy as a house guest, he won't succeed. However, last season, Derek seemed to blend into the background at the beginning. It did extremely well. Do you think Steve could do something like that? The difference between Derek and Steve, and
yeah.
I feel like is an obvious one, is that Derek was an undercover police officer who was like trained in blending in and fitting in with all different types of people. Like Steve is a 22-year-old kid who is not experienced in the world, has never met anybody that's like the people he's going to be trapped in a house with, and I think is going to have incredible struggles to blend in. Ian, fair or unfair?
Very fair. That's part of the problems that I had is I had never interacted with anybody like what was actually in there, and I feel like that's the struggle that he's going to have. Let me tell you, you go to Cornell. Like when I was at Tulane, there were a lot of people that I would say, oh yeah, that person's pretty stupid. Like this seems like a really dumb person. Mm-hmm. But then you have to realize like that's Tulane stupid and that's Cornell stupid.
Yeah.
He's going to go into the house and meet some of these people and, you know, it's going to be another thing coming.
And on top of that, you know, nobody's going to come in and say, hey, Steve, we want to make you feel like you're part of the group. It's going to be on Steve to get into that group. And he needs to be willing to do whatever it takes to do that. I'm not sure necessarily how that's going to go. We'll see. Big Brother, lots of crazy things could happen. Maybe Dr. John will love him.
Maybe.
But
he hates
know-it-all superfans.
Right? So that's going to be problematic for him. I mean, didn't John say that he wanted to get rid of anyone that seems smart?
Yeah. He's anybody that knows about the game, he wants to get rid of. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. One last question.
And then distract the others with shiny things.
Yeah. All right. This is from Nate Hall, who says, do you think that John's anti-nerd campaign could hurt Steve in the house? The best thing that could happen to Steve is that there's an like anti-nerd sentiment, and then he talks about like bullying and stuff like that, and then people will love him, and that he needs to like sort of man that like anti-bullying, keep me in the house thing.
Yeah, that would be good for him. If John were to like just try to get him out, then like go on a completely weird tangent, just go completely nuts, then that's probably going to be...
Yeah, if it's like, you know, he's like, he gets picked on, I think then people, maybe he could, you know, curry sympathy and maybe make that work for him. All right, Ian, all right, let's talk about big picture. All right, so from the people that we've talked about here tonight, who are you the highest on?
I am by far the highest on Dentist John.
Dentist John, wow. Oh, man, I hope you're right.
I really want that to be correct. I actually am the highest on Dentist John out of anyone in this group.
Okay. And of the people we talked about tonight, I'm going to say I'm the highest on Jace.
That's fair.
Okay. Now, the person you're the lowest on tonight.
I'm going to say Jason.
Jason. For me, it's between Jason and Steve, and I feel like from what we've talked about, I feel like Jason could really make people like laugh. I think he has a really good sense of humor, and I'm going to say it's close for me. I'm going to say Steve. I'll take Jason over Steve.
Okay.
But it's tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
As far as the women...
Whichever one slips through quick, then you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Whichever one survives out of the two, you think could probably do well?
Yeah, and keep in mind, there's probably going to also be the buyback. So, you know, that's going to, you know, Steve gets voted out in the first round, but wins a buyback, and he's in week five, where the social thing doesn't really matter anymore. And it's kind of basically what piece did you pick up to fit into someone's game and help the situation that's already going on in the house. I mean, he's right in there.
Yeah. Also, that one thing of note, also, we talked about the Steve bullying scenario. Austin is very anti-bullying, that Austin maybe could pair up with Steve. That could be a power couple, the Steve-Austin thing. It's happening.
It might be good.
Watch out for that. So, Ian, do you have anything you want to tell us about the women? We're going to do the women's show tomorrow night. You're not going to be with us for that. What do you want to tell us about the women? And you want to drop anything on us real quick?
Well, as I said, no QT 3.14-ing this season. Passed on that. But my winner pick is one of the women, and that is Vanessa. So Vanessa is my winner's pick this year. I think anyone, regardless of, you know, look or Duke education or whatever. I mean, anyone who can stand up to Tony G and is willing to go toe to toe with Tony G at the poker table. I mean, it's going to be good.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, so there it is. Vanessa is my pick.
All right. So that is Vanessa, Ian Terry's winner pick, not a QT 3.14, but the winner pick.
No QT 3.14 this year, but definitely the winner pick.
All right. Oh, well, great job tonight, Ian.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Very fun going through all of this. We'll be back tomorrow night to talk about the preview of the women. And we're going to talk with some of our live feed correspondent tomorrow on the podcast. That's going to be live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then Ian will be back with us during the season. What night were you going to be on the podcast this season? Was it eviction night again?
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, so evictions. Thursdays with Ian. Here on the podcast. Ian, did you have a hashtag for this episode?
Anti-dentite?
Anti-dentite? Sure. Either anti-dentite, denim on denim.
Oh, actually, yeah, no. Go with hashtag denim on denim. I like that a lot more.
Good.
Denim on denim.
Hashtag denim on denim. We got to wait for Big Brother 18. Do you think that there will be a denim on denim in a cowboy hat for Big Brother 18?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Well, great job, Ian. Very excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Yes, you knocked it out of the park. And thanks to everybody who watched us live on Periscope and on on the YouTube channel as well. robiswebsite.com/YouTube. That's where you can see all of our shows live. We're also going to be doing, Ian, a Big Brother voicemail show. What did you vote it way in on this? When did you think would be the best day of the week to do a Big Brother voicemail show?
I'm sorry. I have no idea. I don't know what a voicemail show is.
Hey, take to answering voicemail questions from the audience. Do you think it would Sunday. Be best? So Sunday. So after the veto, I mean, the veto ceremony hasn't happened yet at that point. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Maybe Monday then.
So you think Monday after the veto gets played?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would probably be your best bet.
Interesting. Okay. Good stuff, Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, so we'll be back on Thursday night for the preview of the BB17 women and whatever other Big Brother news drops in the next 24 hours. We will cover it then. If you want to get your hands on the Big Brother live feeds and the CBS All Access, you can go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds or for everything that is going on with Big Brother Bingo. If you want to find out how to play and how to get your Big Brother Bingo card for free, go to robswebsite.com/bingo. We will see you tomorrow night for the women's preview of Big Brother 17. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.